are listening to another Youth Ministry Podcast, a podcast of the Board of Youth and Young Adults of the BFC. We exist to refocus, recapture, and realign student ministry with a grace-filled and God-focused vision. I'm Chris.
I'm Jared.
And I'm Tim.
Hey, and I'm Dan.
And yeah. We have Dan, and the four of us just want to say good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, whatever time you listen to us. Man, are we glad that you do.
Very happy.
I mean, and Tim and Dan were expressing their happiness and joy by
dancing.
Clapping their hands and dancing.
Well, see, unlike Dan, like, I'm so glad he starts moving because I agree. Like, it's that beat is pretty
when
good.
When the beat drops,
yes,
you just got to get into it.
Yeah, you got to move, right? So we got to dance. So
even though that used to be foreboding in the Bible Fellowship Church.
I love it. I love it.
I'm not that old, but
I
heard.
Hold up. Is it still forbidden at
Cedar Crest or what?
That's Cedar Crest? He's frowning at me.
Chris's house.
Yes, we won't go into that. At that time,
there were evil eyes coming.
There were other hills to die on at that moment.
That's right.
And so,
that's a good story here.
I wanted to have a dance party type thing with just, you know, like all approved songs for the kids.
Right. Not the Macarena.
Right. Definitely not the Macarena. Not that wicked sinfulness. But yeah, just, you know, I don't remember the full context, but.
And is this why Cedar Crest is looking for a new youth pastor?
Yeah, that's right. No, this was like 4 years ago, I think. And I came to an elders meeting and I just like laid out my argument. And I had two guys come to me, man, you'd make a good lawyer. And but the rest were just, well, especially one person in particular just thought it was, you know, I had all my guards in place and they were just like, no, we're not going to, and because there was a policy against it. So we'll see. Maybe
down the road.
Maybe.
Actually, in the job description for the new position that's out there, it says must win elder board over to dancing.
Mm. That's really funny.
It's right. Yeah. No, it's
that'd be very specific. Some of my favorite moments with students were DJ dance parties. So
yeah, that's right. No. That's what it was. I wanted to bring in Nat Latow. So if you're listening, I tried to get you business. He's a pastor in the BFC. He's a DJ. That's what it was.
Well, his name is DJ Sola.
Yeah.
So. DJ Sola.
So just want to say, actually, now that this is coming to memory, it was a BFC ordained pastor who is a DJ.
And they
said no.
So, and like Dan, he dropped the beats. So,
Nat.
Yes.
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
I love Nat.
It was at we did this all-nighter, and what we did is...
It was to mimic what you did, I think.
We had a surprise guest that no one knew who it was going to be, and the room, we blacklighted the room.
And is this why you're now at a different church?
It's like, if Randy Grossman is okay with this, my goodness.
When we came in, he just started the dance party at 2 a.m.
Oh, wow.
But it was very fun and clean, just kids jumping up and down.
Yeah.
And,
guys, stay tuned for another episode upcoming on what not to do in youth ministry.
If you want to keep your job,
which is why I did.
That's all.
No.
We're talking about prayer. We were anyway.
David danced before the Lord, and David also prayed.
I love that.
So let's segue now. Sorry.
This is episode 80.
Yes!
Chris is still not good at segues.
He's still very strong and terrible segues, and we love it. So
it's his thing. And we'll honor him.
I get the intro and the terrible segues.
But that's all right. We're talking about prayer. As Chris pointed out, King David prayed. He also danced.
Which is what we were talking about.
Inappropriately.
What? No, he did not. His wife was ashamed of him, but he danced for the Lord. Yes, he did remove his clothes.
Focus.
So therefore, students, keep your clothes. Don't be like King David.
Oh my
goodness.
That's the meaning of that text.
I mean, there's things, principles you can pull out of it.
Expositional, man. Let's keep going.
Tim, let's just let this linger.
I just have my face away from the mic, yes. And I'm just trying to keep it together. So what are we talking about?
Prayer. We have been talking about prayer. And so we're back here again talking about prayer. And just to kind of give a recap, Chris, how does the BFC define prayer?
The BFC defines prayer as drawing near in our hearts to the living and triune God. And it is in prayer through that, we express our praise, thanksgiving to our sovereign God, and we confess our sin and ask him to give us what we need and desire according to his will.
I think that's the key point, the desire according to his will.
Yes.
A lot of things we desire that aren't according to
his will. It aligns our hearts to his.
Yes.
Yeah. So we define prayer in that. We talked about the whole episode, so go back and listen to that episode. If not, we talk about prayer, what the purpose of prayer, specifically starting with our own hearts and starting our own minds, our own lives, defining and developing a good prayer life that seeps into and pours over into our ministry, especially teenagers, into families. We talked about prayer and student ministry. Dan, you shared how you brought the teens down to gather into fellowship with the prayer meeting. Integrated them into that and talked about prior.
Prayer can't be peripheral,
right?
It's got to be right, primary, front and center across all of the ministries of our church.
Right. It's not something you slap on to youth ministry.
It's not a tag.
Yeah.
And I just want to share that. I think the episode, the previous episode was kind of, for me, was, I think it's great to be here. I feel like it's shaping for me that I'm going to remember this moment.
Yes.
Hear about our discussion about prayer. So the previous episode, just very, just great conversation, and I'm thankful. Dan, so go.
Thank you.
Yeah, go back and listen to that one. And now, as we kind of wrap up this series on prayer, we're going to really equip you and talk about resources and even scripture, because scripture is the primary resource for how we get an understanding of prayer. And Dan, were you going to share just, you shared before we started recording, one passage that's really where you're at right now that speaks to you about prayer.
Yeah, I mean, just flip open the Bible, you can find Christ prayer, the disciples at prayer, David at prayer, all over the place, but in this really strange context towards the end of the New Testament, the letter of Jude, small little book, beginning in verse 20, the scripture says, "But you, beloved, you young person, building yourselves up in your most holy faith." Well, if you didn't see what was coming next, what would you say? Study to show yourself approved. Building yourself up in your most holy faith. So make sure you go to church. No, the scripture says next, and praying in the Holy Spirit. So how do we build ourselves up to grow stronger and closer, to be more in tune and in line with the sweet sovereignty of God and his agenda? It is by praying in the Holy Spirit. Keeping yourselves in the love of God. Those are parallel statements. Waiting for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. Mm. If you think about it, a lot of times we think that prayer is a passive activity. Mm. That I can't really afford to pray now, because if I'm praying now, that means I'm not doing something to come. Mm. But actually, prayer is very, very active. It is a strategic submission before the Father. And so that verse, for whatever reason, the Lord has really been using in my heart. But even there, we got to remember that Jude is writing not just to you, individual Christian, but he's writing to the church. So you, plural, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Again, we need to invite the Holy Spirit to have permission over our prayer meetings, to have permission over our programming. That's no excuse not to plan, not to do the hard work of preparation, but we want to make sure that the Holy Spirit has free reign. I know that might get us in trouble in the Bible Fellowship Church, but I think we need more, not less, of the Holy Spirit in our ministries. To be well planned, but also to hold our plans lightly and invite the Holy Spirit to lead and direct, because I've often found the things that I plan don't often go over so well, but the things that God brings by his Holy Spirit are dynamic, and I think that's really wonderful.
This almost to like summarize you, I think your point there, you talk, you know, Jude doesn't say go to church, read your Bible, but in one sense, I look at that as it's because I think those things are assumed, and prayer is the aim, goal, so to speak, you know, when you attend the gathering of God's people, what is supposed to happen? You hear from God, but then you're supposed to respond.
That's right.
Which is prayer.
Yeah.
When you read the word of God on your own, what is supposed to happen? You're supposed to respond, which starts with prayer and then leads to obedience. And so prayer is really like, it should permeate every area, every nook and cranny, every facet of the church individually and corporately. And so it's not just like this list, bullet thing, you know, the means of grace, how you connect with God. Prayer should permeate every single one of them.
It's like, you know, we've been together over these podcasts, and how many times have you consciously thought about taking a breath of oxygen, just breathing in? We haven't.
Right.
And yet we naturally do that. Prayer is sort of akin to that for us as believers, that we're breathing in the sovereignty and the presence of God, right? We don't become God, but we're acknowledging His rule and leadership, and we're serving, we're singing, we're speaking, all under His goodness. And I do think about prayer a lot now, but I pray even more than I think about it, because I'm praying for people. The second book, just real quickly, my second most used book from the Bible is our church prayer, is our church directory. I take our church directory with me everywhere I go. And in those moments, I'm just flipping it open and I'm praying for the body of Christ. It's been a real blessing to my prayer life
too. I'm just going to throw this out there, and I don't think Dan would be opposed, but Dan, I've thoroughly and been enjoying just listening to you, just how the Lord has taught you through His word, also through the other resources that we're going to discuss here that has taught you, and also from your, you know, like you said, I was bad at it and I'm still growing at it.
Oh, yeah.
And I still want to be better at it. I just want to throw this out there that I bet that you would enjoy coming to youth groups and maybe talking to students, maybe on like a panel or something like that. Just this has been fruitful, enjoyable discussion for me.
Absolutely.
If you're listening, youth pastors out there, and Dan, I'm sorry, I'm throwing your name out there, but I feel like a panel discussion for students to catch this passion of prayer, because I want you to know that that's what I'm gathering here.
That's
I'm sitting
awesome.
Here going, this... what you were talking about here, like, yeah, I don't think I could have articulated like this, but I'm invigorated about my prayer life, and I'm sitting here thinking already, it's like, all right, I'm going to shape some of my prayer life
that's
a
beautiful
little bit more.
Having our prayer lives invigorated will invigorate every other element of our Christian discipleship. It is just absolutely paramount and central to being a faithful and obedient disciple of Jesus Christ.
One of the challenges we've talked about on this podcast is in youth ministry, you have not only you're a pastor of the students, but we also recognize that the parents are the primary disciple makers of their kids. And so as a senior pastor over an adult, you have that relationship is a little different. In student ministry, you have the same kind of relationship, but it's different because you're fenced in a sense with the parents. And so how would you say some of these resources or equipping the parents to be that prayer mentor for their students.
Yeah, I mean, again, some of this is better caught than taught, right? That's sort of a cliche, but I think it's true. We have shelves of resources, but I think relationship and modeling and mentorship and discipleship is really kind of the secret ingredient that makes a prayer life really active and authentic. I think one thing that's been really helpful for me is to make sure that I'm always in context of discipleship with men in our church, and that it's not merely aimed at helping them grow deeper theologically, but to be transformed as disciples of Jesus Christ, which certainly prioritizes our minds, but it also, I think, must begin in the heart.
Yeah,
and that's prayer. That's the prayer area is focusing on the heart. So before you reach for a book, I think you ought to reach for a hand. Reach for a hand in the church and say, "Listen, hey, can we get together? Just share about what's going on in your life and my life, and then seek the face of God together." Praying with other brothers and sisters in the church, I think that more than any page is going to help transform. So,
and that's where you've thrown in there. I mean, we just talked about for, you know, ourselves and as pastors and as leaders, but you are also saying that for a student, to encourage students or for us youth pastors, find senior saints or older men and women in the church that would be willing to team up with a student to pray with them and to mentor them.
That's right.
You said that was so you're talking about mentorships, but it's not just the leaders and pastors, but students should also, and we need to create those paths for them.
Yeah, that's got to be led, and I think it. It certainly addresses sort of a broader understanding of what prayer means, but it also deepens the relationships within the church so that we don't cycle back to silo ministry. That's really, really good.
One thing we did a couple of years ago, and I kind of got away from it because the timing and the resourcing I would take pictures of all of our students and I'd put them on cards, and then our adults in the church, we would pick them up and be able to pray for that student. I think one step further, we then almost somehow matching them up in a way that they're going to know who's praying for them, and then pray also for that adult. And I think that's a great, great way to introduce prayer and that community as well.
And I just want to highlight, we kind of passed this already, but the whole parent thing is huge. There's a woman, I won't say her name, I don't want to embarrass her, but she's such an example to me in her hunger for the Lord. She got saved right before the pandemic, after her sister had been witnessing her for 10 years. She's married, but her husband's not a believer, and he's her two kids' stepfather. And he's all for her going to church, but he doesn't come yet. We're trying to reach out to him as a life group. So she's in my life group. So she comes, and we were talking about being more intentional just on Monday night. And she texted our group yesterday, encouraging the parents. She has, I think, a 7th or 8th grader and a 6th grader, or 8th and 7th. I don't remember the exact ages. But she said that what she decided to do was, instead of just waiting there silently at the bus stop, just to pray with her kids, just very simple, prayed with them. And I'm like, you know, that will impact them tremendously. Like, and just her texting me that, I was like, man, I better pray with my kids more.
Yeah,
like, and just the impact that has, that small little thing, that other believers being faithful. So I think, you know, really go after their parents is so
big. Because the opposite can be very frustrating. If you're infusing prayer into your gatherings, but then at home they're not seeing that modeled, you're only getting them for 2 hours during the week. And then for the rest of the time at home, they're not seeing it modeled the same way. So they're not going to catch it as deeply.
Yeah, and our church is trying to make a push here soon on pushing family worship. You know, that especially dad would just, hey, it's not complicated. I think Donald Whitney has a short little book on it. It's just, all you got to do is read, pray, sing. That's
and
it.
It's going to be messy. It's going to be chaotic, depending upon the age of the children, especially. Don't give up. Persevere, and God will bless. There's no doubt about it.
So,
yeah. So speaking of the books, what are some good books? You have someone here on the notes that maybe highlight one or two that you really spoke to you and impacted you in this.
So first, the caveat. First, the pitfall of book resources. I was talking to Tim before we started taping here that probably most pastors have at least half a shelf, maybe an entire shelf full of resources on prayer. That's fantastic. But may we never forget that reading about prayer is not the same as seeking God in prayer, right? And so probably all of us are wired to dig into the Word of God, to learn, to read. We all love that stuff. But that's no substitute for seeking God in relationship. And so for every one book that I read about prayer, I almost intentionally I carve out time not to read, but to schedule prayer. Sometimes I have to do that, just because, you know, I'm still a work in progress myself. But that doesn't mean there's not a proper place and role for resources. I think that's one thing that we are called to do as pastors, is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And one of the easiest ways to multiply your reach is to give resources in prayer. So we have a lot of Ligonier resources at Trinity. I have stacks and stacks of books, and I'm often giving them out to folks on who is Jesus, what is prayer, what is baptism, all these things, and
not that one.
Good point. Good point. But yeah, so resources are good. Couple books. We mentioned Daniel Henderson's name a handful of times. Transforming Prayer, Old Paths, New Power. Those are a couple of his resources that I know Cedar Crest has used, the BFC. And again, I think this episode will be airing after we've already had the Day of Prayer. But we actually want to teach pastors to pray. Not just not to perform in prayer, but to lead your people in prayer. And there's a big difference. If our people are dazzled by the eloquence and by the length, or maybe lulled to sleep by the length of our prayers at church, then how is that helping them follow? Imitate me, Paul says, as I follow Christ, 1 Corinthians 11:1. So being able to resource our pastors with books like the 6-4 Ministry, Daniel Henderson, Transforming Prayer, I think is a dynamic book. Tim Keller's book, simply entitled Prayer. I think J.I. Packer wrote a different book with Carol Nystrom called Praying. Both of those are just top-notch resources. This isn't on the show list here, but Al Mohler has a book on the Lord's Prayer. R.C. Sproul has a book on the Lord's Prayer, The Prayer of Our Lord and Savior, I think his is called. And really, only if all we did was dig into Matthew 6, Luke 11, the disciples' prayer, the Lord's prayer, mm-hmm. and just became proficient at recognizing that Jesus begins with the honor of God the Father before he models for the disciples that we bring our own petitions before the Lord, we will have advanced in our development of prayer.
I think it was, I think it was Pastor Boone when he was still at Cedar Crest mentioned, you know, it took him a while for the Lord's Prayer to be, influential in his prayer life, because he said he had grown up in a liberal Presbyterian church and it was just liturgical.
Yeah, sure.
So just everyone recited it, and he wanted to distance himself from a mere liturgical,
just a rote thing,
quoting of it. And he's like, he felt, not ashamed, he was ashamed, but he's like, man, I feel like I was robbed, because it is good and you should use it as long as your heart is using it the right way.
Do you guys have the Valley of Vision collection of Puritan prayers?
Yeah. I mean, yes.
those are
phenomenal.
They are phenomenal. Mm-hmm. And so again, it's giving us, not in Valley of Vision is often based on scriptures. It's not inspired language. Right. That's not the Bible, but it helps to, again, I've used this phrase before, train our heart and our tongue to be able to say good things about God and seek the face of God in wisdom and counsel. Submit our plans to God. There's just so very much there. Mm-hmm. The other book that I'll mention is, we've mentioned his name already, Donald Whitney, Praying the Bible. Again, a very small resource, but I think that is a very transformative approach to prayer. Again, particularly for younger people, they may feel like, I really don't know what to say. Mm-hmm. Guess what? That's where we all start. Mm-hmm. And if God is so good and so loving and so welcoming of us as sufferers and sinners, then dive in with Bibles open and pray. Just thought about this other book as well, that people may not think it's a book on prayer, but I've found it to be a holy devotional book, is Gentle and Lowly by Dane Ortlund. Mm-hmm. If we got a clearer glimpse into how Jesus views us, what would that do for our desire to want to be with him? And that's what that book really did for me.
That's great. I love that. We got the free copies from Crossway and gave them out.
I've got three left.
Three left
from 200.
We got a box left. So those are great resources. What are some of the benefits? Like, we talk about prayer and the importance of prayer in our own lives and student ministry. What are some of the benefits or fruits one might see in a praying youth ministry or a saturated prayer ministry of youth, or I don't know how you would say that, but
you're sowing, right? Yeah. You're sowing all of these different attempts to bring the silos together, to get the youth, the adults involved, getting people connected to your students, giving them good resources, get them to read the word. What happens?
Yeah.
You've done all this work, you've sowed, you've planted, you've watered, you've tried to get weeds out of there. And now what kind of fruit are you going to see?
I think of two relationships in my life, two very significant relationships. Number one is with the Lord, and number two is with my wife. And to the degree in which I have neglected either of those relationships, there has been distance. And so when we're talking about what's the benefit, maybe we might initially think, well, this is going to really increase the numbers in our youth ministry. That's secondary. That's third level stuff.
Yep.
It's transformation. Mm-hmm. It's faithfulness. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's depth of relationship. And actually,
It's the substance.
Mm-hmm. And let me just tell you, about 5 years ago, and I don't mind saying this publicly, about 5 years ago, concurrent with my own, I'll say, prayer revolution, was a deepening of my own relationship with my wife that was absolutely critical, needed, and transformative. And we can't, Jesus says, I think it's Matthew 5, if you come before the altar of God and yet there's an issue with the brother, leave your gift, go reconcile, then come back. If we think we can,
Peter talks about your prayers are hindered.
Absolutely, that's right. So we think we can pursue an authentic relationship vertically with the Lord while also maintaining mess in our relationship with other people, and you can't. One affects the other, and so if there's no other fruit of a genuine prayer culture in my life, in our youth ministry, in our church, than my own depth of discipleship, than my own breadth of truer community with other Christians. That's enough. Mm-hmm. I think the other things will come because we'll be more concerned about those that are lost coming to faith in Jesus Christ.
Right.
Those will come.
Some of the other fruit I've seen from students is when you're teaching a healthy view of prayer and communion with the Lord is also, freedom and boldness for students that were struggling to realize that they didn't need to run from the Lord, but that they could run to Him.
Yeah. Mm.
That realizing that you have access, come to the throne of the grace of God boldly because of your Savior, and go and pray. And so that was fruit I've seen of just a student that was locked down and feeling like I'm not good enough before God. I can't talk to Him. Them seeing almost like depression breeding out of that because they're in the church and, they don't feel like they fit in because they're unholy. And you're like, you are a sinner. But if you're saved by Christ, go boldly. Mm. And we have authenticity, them knowing I can be authentic to my brothers and sisters, and then also ultimately, as I commune with the Lord, I can bring these issues in my life and ask Him to help me walk through this.
Mm-hmm. Is that one of our jobs as pastors, in a sense, to work ourselves out of a job, to be in the lives of people, not for them to be dependent upon us, but to teach them to love and to know how to seek God's word, to seek God in prayer? And where we all, as brothers and sisters, we are indispensable one to another, but not because of us, but because of Christ's command to be gathered in the church.
Yeah.
But we don't want how great would it be for one of your youth group members to come back to you in 10, 15 years and walk up and not say, what I have never forgotten was your lesson on such and such, but rather what I've never gotten over is how you helped me know that God loves me and God wants to meet with me in prayer. Those lessons, people are going to be studying the Bible, but to help them see that God wants His heart to be open to them and their hearts to be open to the Lord is exactly what it's all about.
Yeah.
That's great.
I think from the practical standpoint is as well individually their own walk, but then teaching them when they pray with the broader church that they're connected to it and that when they come, they participate in it. We were talking about this during the break that coming to church is not just hearing preaching and watching someone else sing and maybe singing, which singing, by the way, is prayer. That's a whole nother.
Yes.
Topic. But when they come, they're to participate and they're to respond. And when they read the word, they respond. So I think it fosters a participation where a lot of people view youth as, you're the church of tomorrow. It's like, no, you're the church of right now. You might be the leaders of tomorrow, but you're the church of right now. And teaching them to pray is you are active in the people of God. I think that's a huge thing.
If our youth ministry or our church is boring, it means prayer is lacking. It really does mean prayer is lacking.
That's great. Well, thank you, Dan, for joining us for these episodes and talking and sharing your heart about prayer. We hope that this was impactful to you in your ministry on prayer, but also personally, we hope that your prayer life is deepened and the desire to strengthen that and be encouraged in that as a result of these episodes. And so we want to thank you for listening to this episode of Another Youth Ministry Podcast. Please connect with us on Instagram at Another YM Podcast or email us at AnotherYMPodcast@gmail.com.